Strangely enough, when I thought about speaking here this morning, and I've been thinking about this for quite a while, and it started out as what I wanted to talk about was something in Ephesians, and then all that changed. And it was interesting, a lot of things just running through my mind here, what Todd was saying. You know, did you read your Bible today? And I just finished reading President W. Bush. I read his biography, and interesting. Well, it wasn't a biography, but it talked about his time in office mainly, and how he made the decisions that he made. And if you remember back to those days, how he used to be vilified by the press and the media, etc. And I think one of the reasons the media doesn't like him, he's a Christian. And he made it well known that he was a Christian. And unfortunately, the last, up till now, Christian president of the United States. And in his epilogue, and his epilogue took place and started the day he left the White House. And he said, I got up on that date, some date in January, February. I don't know how they work it there, but anyway. And he said, I got up and I did the same thing I did every morning. I read my Bible. And he said, I do that every morning. I've done that every morning for years and years, which I thought was pretty good. So him talking about the world, and I used to say, and I used to say to my friends and my wife, I used to say, you know, I just think the world's going crazy. Well, I don't think that anymore. I think it's gone. I think it has gone crazy. And thinking about that led me to this thing, and some of the young people here, if you're onto YouTube, if you are younger, I'd really like you to write this down because I'd like you to look this up on YouTube. It was a singer. His name was Al. I don't need to help you spell that. Hibbler, H-I-B-B-L-E-R, Al Hibbler. And actually, he was the first one, quite a famous song, Unchained Melody. He was the first one who sang that in the 1950s. But he also had a song in 1954, and I just know this because I just looked this up yesterday. In 1954, this song that he had, it was number 4 in the top 10 Billboard charts. And it was a song called He. And actually, with the singing that we had the other day with the two ladies, and I heard Sam was maybe going to join this, and then I was told they were going to have a quartet. So I thought I could audition here and sing you a few verses. And then you'll find out why I am not going to be invited into this quartet. But this song, He, starts out, if I could do this. He can turn the tide and calm the endless sea. He alone decides who writes the symphony. That's the other, that's what I get. Well, okay, that's, yeah. I say, Carol there. Yeah, he's right. No way, no way. But in all of this, the whole song is about God, how he listens to children's prayers, how all of the things in the world are about God. Number 4, the fourth most popular song in the United States. In the United States today, where so many people don't care about God and never heard about God and certainly don't admire him at all. So that was some of the things. And since you've heard that solo, I want you to know that's historic, because that's most likely the first and the last. And you'll most likely be glad about it. And the other thing I've been doing this week, I've been compiling our surveys. And one of the things it talked about in there is ministry, the ministry that the chapel does. And a lot of people, it was said, you know, do you think we do enough about ministry? Or I can't remember the exact question. And a lot of people said, well, maybe not. And so I thought, well, maybe that's just because people aren't aware of the amount of ministry that we do. And I can tell you that the church I go to in Florida, he quoted me, and I was really astounded when he told me this figure, but most churches in the United States, less than 10% of the money that they take in goes out to ministries. It goes out beyond their property line. 10%. Just looking roughly at some numbers that I have, and these may not be very exact, With us, that's around 80% that goes to support industries, or ministries, I'm sorry. And I just sort of made a quick little list. We helped to support 20 full-time Christian workers in 5 different countries. We support helped to support 4 Christian camps, an orphanage in India, the Awana program here and in Africa, and with the missionary. Add to this 3 or 4 broadcasting ministries, ministry in the South Sudan, Christian publishers, and prison ministries. And that most likely isn't all of it. But all of that is done through grace and truth. And but the other big thing I want to talk about was our weekly meetings here at Grace and Truth. And the first one of the week, and I thought about this because often you will hear people say, you know, and this morning in the morning meeting we did this, and this morning in the morning meeting we did this, but some of you here are not familiar with morning meeting at all. And so I wanted to explain a little bit about that. Sometimes we call it the worship meeting, sometimes we call it the break of bread meeting, or simply morning meeting. I just use morning meeting. But I'm just sort of going to leave that one to last, so don't mind. That is followed by the family Bible hour, or Sunday school, whichever term you prefer. Family Bible hour is the more modern one, I suppose, the newest one. Then there's Sunday evening. On Tuesday, there's prayer and Bible study, and then there's the ladies' Bible study, which I didn't put on my list originally, which I should have. And each of these meetings has a purpose, and each of them has various levels of attendance. So, the family Bible hour is the meeting with the largest attendance, and actually, I was just discussing with someone today, you know, this summertime, and a lot of people are traveling in, they're not here, and that's understandable. It has a double focus, ministering to children and older students at an age-appropriate fashion, and also to adults in the adult class. And the ministry in this meeting is directed toward both believers and non-believers. And in the adult class, speakers are scheduled in and come from within the assembly and from outside the assemblies. Well, I know that because I've been doing that for a number of years. Actually, strangely enough, I only have 4 more open dates this year. And I bought my 2016 calendars. I'm just in the process of, I write out to some people who come in and visit and say, why don't you pick some dates for next year? Because that makes my job so much easier if they do that. Sunday night is determined for Bible preaching. Sometimes there's special things like videos or report from missionary reports, and sometimes if we have a speaker in from out of town, he speaks at this meeting and the Sunday evening meeting. Fortunately, this meeting is not really well attended. Tuesday night's meeting, the prayer and Bible study meeting. Well, guess what we do there? Prayer and Bible study. It's sort of split half and half. Half the time is in prayer, and we have lists of things that we look at each week, and people bring up things that we would like people to pray for illnesses of people that we know, etc. Everybody knows, all of us know someone who needs to be prayed for, and events that need to be prayed for, etc. So we do that, and then the second half of the meeting, we look at the Bible study. Right now we're looking at the people of faith, those listed in the book of Hebrews. And I saw a quote somewhere, I read the quote and then I forgot who said it, that the Bible is God's greatest gift to the human race. Well, maybe second. I think Jesus is the greatest gift that we have for the human race. But the Bible, and when you look at the Bible, I mean it is, and yeah, try not to, don't. I store papers in mine, and as you can see, it's sort of, but just think how amazing this book is. I mean, the original book's written thousands and thousands of years ago, and yet they survived all through these years, all put together, and for years, it was the largest selling book ever, and if it still is or not, I don't know. I sort of worry, perhaps, that it won't be. People are getting more into 50 Shades of Grey than the Bible, unfortunately. And so, we have this book, and there is so much in it, and we should be reading it every day, and I saying should because I'm not a really good example of that. Okay, but I should be. So my wife is going to say, well, you said you should, so don't get at it. because she's much better than I am. Okay, this meeting where we have this, we have a pretty steady core of attendees who are there most every week. But there could be more. Okay, there are not that many, and sometimes the person needing prayer is you. I know that's me often. And you know, it said, you know, where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there amongst you. So this might be a good place to be. I put a little note here. If you're praying, I mean, your voice doesn't go far. It doesn't have to go far. He's right there. Okay. Now let's get into morning meeting, because I wanted to talk about morning meeting. Why do we have morning meetings? So I'd like you to look at some scriptures, starting with, this is all my bookmarks are here for, Matthew 26. If you could take a look at that. I know I should have these up on the screen, but I'm just not very good at that. And I don't know what your Bible says, but mine says, as a heading for this section of verses, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And starting at verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Interesting that they finished this with a hymn. And of course, the disciples did not know at that time that Jesus was going off to face his crucifixion. Now, if you could take a look at Mark, chapter 14. Starting at verse 22. Once again, in my Bible, we have the same heading. Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Luke. If you take a look at Luke, chapter 22. Beginning at verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup, gave thanks. And you know, he knew what was ahead of him, and yet he was still thankful. Gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer... Oh, well, I'm going to leave that part out. But in this one is different in that he states in there, do this in remembrance of me. And then one more, 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. And this is Paul's description of what he was told by the Lord. Okay? Paul did not... knew of Jesus, but he did not know Jesus when he was alive. No, that's not right. Of course, he must know when he's alive. He's been alive all but 3 days. He didn't know him before he was crucified. But he said, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you," starting at verse 23, "that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And this is why we have morning meeting. Number one, it's at Jesus' request. Do this in remembrance of me. This is why we have this meeting. And we remember the Lord and his death until he returns. Now, different churches will treat this command in different ways, and some with different implications. The Roman Catholic Church has communion, as the breaking of bread can be called, on a daily basis. They have communion every day. Whenever they have a mass, they have the breaking of bread. Sometimes they have just the bread. They used to have just the bread, but I think now that's changed that, and they have wine with it also. The major difference is the Catholic Church, they have a belief in a thing called transubstantiation. I know about this because I once, we won't get into all this, how all this happened, but I once took lessons in the Catholic faith for a particular purpose. And actually, when we got to transubstantiation, well, that was when the priest said, "I can't help you. Go to somebody else." Because I just could not handle this. So anyway, I have a thing here which says exactly what transubstantiation means. This is a quote from the Council of Trent. "By the consecration of the bread and wine, the entire substance of the bread is converted into the substance of the body of Christ our Lord, and the entire substance of wine into the substance of his blood, which conversion is, by the Catholic Church, fitting and rightly called transubstantiation." So, meaning that the bread they pass out and the wine they pass out is the actual body and the actual blood of the Lord Jesus. We have bread and we have wine, and the popular term, they are the emblems. They represent the blood and the body of Christ. Interestingly enough, the Lutheran Church, they have a theory called, and it's very hard to say, consubstantiation. Ah, there, I got it in one word. Consubstantiation, in which the bread and the wine are not changed, but somehow the bread contains some part of the body of the Lord, and the wine contains some part of the blood of the Lord when you take it. And those are just the different, those are quite different. I know we have communion, we call it every Lord's Day, or every Sunday. Some Christian churches will do this monthly or even quarterly. We have a cup that we pass one to another. In any church that I've been to that has not been an assembly, they always have those trays with a little tiny, you've seen, I see a lot of heads going nodding, and I think that's worrying about germs, etc., that kind of thing. And well, the Lord's here to protect us. I don't worry about that. Some use wine, as we do, and others have grape juice. And with frequency, I know the church that I go to in Florida, I'm there for 3 months every year. I've never been at a communion service there. I don't know how often they do it. Not every quarter, I guess, since they don't know the quarter either. So what happens at morning meeting? And this is what, and, okay, at morning meeting, the first time I went, it was unlike anything I had ever experienced before, I have to tell you. And I came in, and the first thing I noticed, it was so quiet. And actually, I was just talking with Peter earlier, and he said, I really appreciate the quiet. You come in, there are people sitting here, there's no one at the piano, there's no one at the front to lead the meeting. It's just quiet. People are seated, they're praying, they're reading their Bibles, and they're just getting ready, preparing themselves for the meeting to start. There's no person at the front of the room, no piano or instruments of any kind. And we often refer to this meeting as being Spirit-led. That is, the Holy Spirit is leading those in the meeting to participate in some way. And I could tell you from several years of going to morning meeting, it seems that a theme develops almost every time. And I would say today, this morning's morning meeting, we were talking about the love of Christ. And the love that he had, that he would go through this crucifixion for us. And so what will happen? One of the brothers will call out a hymn number. We have a hymn book that we mainly use for this meeting, the small black one, which I didn't bring up with me. And I remember Craig Massey saying to me, in most hymnals, songs are about God. In this one, we sing to God. And I was looking through this morning, sort of paying special attention to the hymns that were chosen, you know, and you speak to God. Okay. As the meeting goes on, there are prayers and scripture meetings. These prayers are not prayers of request. We don't pray, could you help my ailing sister? Can you help my this? Or could you help me with this? Prayers are prayer of thanks. Prayers of thanks for all that God and his Son have done for us, and prayers of worship. This is not a time for ministry. It is a time to worship God. That's the whole purpose of it, and to remember him in his death. And this meeting, hopefully, will go on every Sunday till the Lord returns. Then they won't be necessary anymore. After a period of time, some will get up and bless the bread. The bread is broken and then is passed through to the members in attendance. That same person, usually, in this assembly, the same person blesses the bread and the wine. In one assembly I was in down in Frostproof, which I thought was an interesting name for a town in Florida, Frostproof, they have a small assembly there. One person blesses the bread, another person blesses the wine. The wine is poured into the cup, and this is passed one to another in the meeting. After this, we take our offerings. Then usually we close with another hymn and prayer, or another hymn, then we have announcements, and then the meeting closes in prayer. The meeting's usually about an hour long, although I used to kid with Durrett. When I was in university, I read this, I had this book, it was called The 50-Minute Hour. It was about psychiatrists, and psychiatrists, they charge you for an hour, but they only send 50 minutes with you. I said, yeah, that's a 50-minute hour. Here in Grace and Truth, we have the 75-minute hour. So, of course, a lot of you, I know, are come to morning meeting here. I've been to morning meetings in other places. Let me ask the others of you here, and especially you know, those of you in high school age, and I know when I taught high school at Maranatha, there were several people who were at this assembly who I went to and suggested that they start to break bread. Becky, I can't remember if you were one of those or not. I remember talking to one of that family and one of the nuns, and but he had already considered it and was working with something in his father. He or she, I can't remember. Now Becky's saying, what did he say? Were you one of the ones I suggested that you might start breaking bread? Did I ever suggest that to you? No? Okay. I know there were four or five. So, if you're a born-again believer, are you, and you're trying to follow Christ in your life, should you not be listening to his command, "This do in remembrance of me"? I know what this does. It takes up an hour of your morning, an hour of a Sunday. Is this a major commitment? Only you can answer that. But I would ask you seriously to think about it. And if you are thinking about attending the morning meeting, I would follow the advice that was given to me by Dewart. Dewart did a lot for me. I mentioned his name a lot. "Come out and check us out, Paul." That's what he say. "Come out and check us out." And so I did. I came out. And I have to tell you truthfully, at first, I had to think, well, this is the most boring meeting I've ever been at in my life. Until I started realizing what it was all about. And just became I can tell you, this is one of the highlights of my week, is to be at the morning meeting. And if you are thinking about coming out to morning meeting, and are thinking coming out to check it out, please talk to somebody, one of the elders or something, before you do. Depending on the circumstances, and I'm sure it'd be individual circumstances, you may or may not have the emblems, that's the bread and the wine, passed to you. And I do know of a case where someone came in, hadn't talked to the elders, just came in, and the emblems weren't passed to them, and they were really offended. And I feel badly about that. And I've talked to them since, but they haven't come back to look again. And so I want you to have a clear understanding about this, because we certainly do not mean to offend anyone who is attending this meeting. So if you can, I would really think that this would be a good thing, a wonderful thing for you to do, and something you can start on. So now, having used up all but 10 minutes of my time, I can get to what I was originally going to talk to you about, which is Ephesians 1:1-14, which I can do in 10 or 12 minutes. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles again, please, to the first chapter of Ephesians. And this is the whole reason I'm reading this to you is just to assure you that if you are a believer, you are rich beyond description. Okay? And, you know, my wife and I have had, my wife has said to me, and she's usually pretty wise in the things that she says. She said, you know, there's coming a time, and I think it's coming soon, where a lot of our friends are not going to be happy with some of the things we believe in. Okay? As you know, there's so many right now, but same-sex marriages, well, you know, you keep hearing, oh, well, you should be more accepting. And I'm saying, no, I shouldn't. Why should I be accepting of this? I don't believe it's right. And that, and all of the other things that are going on in the world. You are going to lose some friends over that if you're staying strong in your faith. But here's a good reason, too, to stay strong. Starting at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Just looking at this, our salvation was planned by God, it was purchased by Jesus, and it is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now I know that causes all sorts of problems, that some people with predestination, etc. Well, why should we still go out and be missionaries if everyone's predestined? Well, that's not true. Look right here. What did Jesus say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't mean to understand all that, but I can tell from this verse, God chose me. And I can't tell you why. Certainly not because I deserved it. But we can be called, those who are believers can be called saints because we are in Christ. If you're a believer, you too were chosen. Before the beginning of the world, you were chosen to be saved. We were adopted. That is the destination, the adoption. We are literally in the family of the one who created the universe. We are purchased by the Son, in whom we have redemption. Pardon me, redemption. I slipped on that word because I typed it in wrong. I put the wrong word in, and I just read it in my handwriting, which is harder to read. He paid the price to set us free. He went to that cross. He suffered and he died so that we could be free from sin. And verse 10, in the fullness of time, this is at the end of the ages, when all of the prophecies of the book of Revelations have been completed, and in the fullness of time, we will be with him. We will be in Jesus. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. God owns us. Sealing, when something is sealed, it's like putting your ownership on it. He sealed it, and he owns us, and he protects us. So, when you look at this, just these few verses of Scripture, look at all the things that God has done for us. He's chosen us to be his people. His Son knew us at that time and died for our sins. And certainly and I'm sure you can too, you were not deserving of that. But at different times in your life, at different periods of your life, some very young, some very old, I mean, my family must be slow. I was saved in my 40s. My mother came to the Lord in her 80s. But that doesn't matter, as long as you do. So, we're purchased by the Son and then sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're his forever. We always belong to the Lord. We always belong to the Lord. We always have him. We always have our protection, his protection. We're the safest people in the world. They can do anything. Things can happen to our bodies, and we see this happening in the Far East, Christians being martyred, etc. But where are they now? They're with the Lord because he sealed them. They are his. And we see things that happen in the world and we wonder, well, why would that happen? Why would these Christians be persecuted? I have no answer for that. But I can just tell you, as I mentioned to Peter, do you ever have something happen to you in your life and it just seems so terrible? Just, you're almost devastated by it. How could this happen to me? This terrible thing. And then 10 years later, you can look back and say, if that hadn't happened to me, I would not be where I am today. And I can give you a couple instances of that with my own life. The things that seem so crushing at that time, but when you look back in that space of time, and that's us looking back 10 years. God looks back in eternity. So we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. He owns us and protects us. So I think my prayer would be for the people here today, if you're not a believer, there's no day like today to become one. And you know, I just thinking about this, this gentleman was going along the East York Expressway, riding his motorcycle, not a care in the world. Somebody's not looking where he's going, hits him, he's gone. Could happen to any one of us. Okay? I know if that happens to me, I know where I'm going. Do you? Okay? And if you are a believer, I would really like you to think about morning meeting. Because if you look at these verses, and just remember that, this do in remembrance of me. Okay? I'm hoping you'll think that you should be there. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can gather together here. We can look at your word. We thank you, Father, that you've chosen those you wish to bring to yourself, that we are in Christ, that you have sealed us and protected us. And we know, Father, that we were not deserving of any of this, but you, with your love for us, have made it possible. We pray for those who cannot be here today. We think especially of Dewart and Jim. We thank you that Mr. Kelton is going to be able to celebrate his birthday soon, reaching the century mark. We just thank you for him and for his friendship and his example for us for all these years that here at Grace and Truth. We just pray for everyone here. Pray for their safety. Pray for their needs. Pray for those amongst us who are not believers that they will soon come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.